How are you doing?
Hello?
This is Jason Sims calling you. How are you?
Hello?
Hello, is this Gaetan?
It is, yes.
Hello, this is Jason Sims calling you. How are you?
Hey, good. How about you?
I'm doing very well.
Good. Excellent.
How did you find out about the project, if you don't mind my asking?
I think there's someone I follow who is from Nova Scotia. She makes comics. I think Kate,
yes.
Kate or Die?
Yes, I talked to her earlier today.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, good.
Yeah, she just had reblogged it, and I thought, well, cool. I'll send off an email.
Excellent. So you and I have had no previous interaction. You have no clue who I am other than I'm some dude that wants to call people.
Exactly.
That's excellent. That is ideal.
Yeah.
Ideal for the project. So
perfect.
I'm down here in Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
And you are up in Manitoba?
Yes. Yeah, Central Canada.
Central Canada. And again, my as I told Kate, my Canadian geography knowledge is very sparse.
No worries. It's like just north of North Dakota. It's
okay.
Like right near North Dakota and like and Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is that near Saskatchewan?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Saskatchewan's to the west.
Okay.
And Ontario's to the east.
Excellent. Okay, that orients you in my brain. So
there you go.
The analog of Canada in my brain, I
yeah.
have placed you.
And the geographical center of the country is near us, so we're like pretty much the middle of Canada.
Wow, is there a sign there at the geographical
center?
There
is, yeah, there's actually a sign. It's like off on a highway somewhere, and there's a sign that says the longitudinal center. Yeah.
Wow. I'll have to, if I'm ever out that way, I'll have to look for that. If I remember from your email, you said you were interested in radio.
Yeah.
And you have a good voice for radio.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I do a college show.
Okay.
On Fridays. And I've worked in commercial radio before. I've had a couple of internships with our public broadcaster as well.
You're in college now.
No, I'm out of college, but I'm still at the radio station.
Oh, that's good that you still have that opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what your field of study was communication?
It was. Yeah. I did 2 years of communications, in which I did a major in broadcast journalism.
Okay.
And last year I took a photography diploma as well.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
I did not finish college, but when I was in college, I was a print journalism major
because
I wasn't good at predicting the future.
Right.
This was back in the late 90s, but even then, I should have known better.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I enjoyed it. I mean, it was interesting. It certainly changed the way I read the news.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, I'm under the impression, due to my limited understanding of things probably, that there may be a lot more opportunities for narrative radio in Canada than there would be here in the States.
You know, that's interesting what you say, because there really isn't, honestly. I mean, there's our one public broadcaster.
Mm-hmm. Is that the CBC?
The CBC, yeah. And our current government is a conservative government,
okay.
And they don't particularly like the CBC.
Gotcha.
Because they think they're a bunch of liberal hacks, which, I mean, I guess you could probably say about most media except for Fox News.
Right. Well, and I think, again, the kind of the people who would, kind of what media came to mean, the kind of people who would go into it would, of course, would probably tend to lean a little more to the left, just because if the idea you're going, because in the idea after the All the President's Men, the stuff, Watergate, after that, I mean, and a lot of, I guess, people that came up in the 60s, there was a lot of activist journalism and things like that. So I think the kind of people who were going into we're going to go after the bastards school of journalism.
Exactly.
Would tend to be, you know, of that bent. So, I mean, I don't subscribe to the full-on liberal conspiracy theory of of media, especially since so much media is corporate, is, owned by gigantic corporations.
Yeah,
But a
exactly.
lot of times people that would tend to go into that, I could see how they may be a little more leaning in that
Yeah.
area.
I've always kind of felt that myself, and I listen to a lot of NPR podcasts as well, and they've even, said that. I think I was listening to a podcast of This American Life, and they said they did a kind of a survey around the office, and pretty much everybody was left leaning, had the same kind of views on gay marriage, abortion, and they were, pretty much well educated, and it was all kind of the same people in the office.
Right, and I
So,
think a lot of that stuff is it tends to be an urban
yeah.
phenomenon, and of course in urban areas that will be more that point of view would be more prominent as well. So I'm glad that we've done a full analysis now of liberal bias in the media. We're less than 7 minutes in, and we've already
Yeah.
fully diagrammed that. Not
Yeah.
bad. So anyway, but no, I was just assuming again since maybe there was more sort of public, what I'm trying to say, maybe more public support for the arts and media, because I know there are a lot of short films and animation and things that come out of Canada because of the film board, but we don't have a thing like that. And a lot of the short films and animation that I see comes from Canada and Europe because they do have national, sort of support for those kind of things. But I was guessing that there might be more opportunity for narrative radio because pretty much here it's NPR, local, local
Yeah.
public radio, and then of course podcasts.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there is opportunity, but especially the way that the budgets have gone in the past, and there's one coming up, and I've been in contact with some people from the CBC, and they tell me, like, we're kind of waiting with bated breath because they just don't have any extra funding to go around. Like, I can try it all I want to get some work with them, but it's actually harder than I thought it would be. And I thought there would be more internship programs, but there aren't. Like, they don't even have a really, like, a set policy on internships or work experience things, which I found kind of shocking. So I'm actually looking south. I'm applying for internships with, This American Life and NPR. Things like that, just because I know that there's some there that actually they have funding and they'll actually pay me. So I'm figuring, wow, geez, I should go for those ones then.
I myself would probably describe myself as a moderate, but one thing about the sort of more conservative folks, there doesn't seem to be a lot of doesn't seem a lot of understanding of community and public space and public good and public, what I'm getting at? Everything's commercial or private, and again, I would consider myself to be a moderate, and I'm not. I actually like my government to be really small and local, if possible. But I think, not necessarily saying the federal government would be the one to have to do it, but I do think it is a public good for communities, local, especially like municipalities, states, communities to support public media and art that maybe is not commercial. Because if all you have is what's commercial, you kind of end up with lowest common denominator. You end up because radio. I don't know how commercial radio is up there, but our commercial radio down here is sort of a wasteland. I mean, it's a lot of cookie cutter music format stations, and I mean, really, that's about it. I mean, there's other than the down the public spectrum end of the dial, you have a little more interesting things down there, but that's basically it.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much similar in terms of commercial radio up here. I mean, especially in my city, I mean, we have a rock station, the classic rock station. Here's your pop, and we have a couple of like kind of mixture stations, but they're still like the same, like pretty cookie cutter
And they're
stuff.
kind of faceless. I mean, they're just
They
sort of
are, yeah.
faceless. They play the music, they play their commercials, they have their bumpers, and that's kind of it. There aren't really any personalities anymore.
And somebody even asked me recently why I didn't want to work in commercial radio, and it's because when I was there, I'd already met people who were jaded, you know, who had just been like, they'd been working in the industry for, you know, 15, 20 years, and they'd already been jaded because of the fact that it was just so, it was the same. It was pretty much the same.
Right, and it seems like you're going to go in and work. It's kind of like you're just hanging out at somebody's house playing the stereo.
Yeah.
You know, there's not really a whole lot for you to do. I mean, there, of course, there's some guys that do, like, you know, morning shows and things like that, that have a little more maybe opportunity for expression. But those kind of jobs, I think, are few and far between. But I'm really interested. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I'm glad podcasts have come along because...
Oh yeah, they're fantastic.
And there's, you know, it's hard to make a living doing them, but they're an opportunity to hear a lot of things you would never get an opportunity to hear otherwise.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you do as a podcast?
Well, this is, I don't know exactly what this is going to be yet. I think it may end up being a podcast. It's going to be, it may just be up, you know, these conversations may just be uploaded to like a Tumblr page. They may be podcasts, they may be chopped pieces and put back together with moving music. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I have done a podcast in the past.
Okay.
A friend of mine, we did a podcast called Ramblin'.
Okay.
Ramblin' the podcast, which if you go to ramblinpodcast.com, just leave the G off because it's the Alabama pronunciation of Ramblin'.
Yes, of course.
It's my friend Trevor and I, we would just drive around and we would go places and record us talking to people and, you know, running around. So I'm going to tell my son goodbye. He's about to leave to go to a friend's house. Hold on 1 moment.
Okay, no worries, no worries.
All right, bye, son.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye.
And now we're back to the phone call.
All right.
But, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and it's good and bad because of the sort of low threshold for entry, because you could just end up with things that aren't interesting at all. You know, like this might end up not being interesting at all to anyone but me, but you know, if you have somebody that really has talent or really has something to say, you know, even if they're not in a position where they could get that out there, that's a real opportunity for them to, you know, you can find some real sort of jewels in the rough, diamonds in the rough, I think would be the
phrase. Yeah, I guess that's what you would call it. Yeah. Well, my friend and I are working on a project. It's going to be kind of, I guess, This American Life-ish.
Yeah.
Because we're both big fans.
This Manitoban Life.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
You can give me a consultation credit on it.
Okay, I will.
I'm going to insult you right now that that's a bad idea.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Thank you. I got the gear.
Yeah.
He's got some ideas, and we're going to work on them and do a lot of prep work, a lot of interviewing this spring and summer. And then, I guess, release podcasts once a week or once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Maybe get a couple of the college papers in on it and just let them know what's going on, and maybe it'll take off.
Well, I would be interested in hearing something like that. I guess you're on Tumblr?
Yeah, I am.
Would you post something like that to your Tumblr when you were doing it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I will look for you. I will look for you on Tumblr. How would I find you?
It's B Cavalier, so B E, and then a dash.
All right, hold on. Sorry, I got to ask you. Okay, Cavalier.
And then Cavalier with a K.
Oh, all right. So K A L. V.
K A V A L I E R.
All right, and then
.tumblr. .tumblr.com. Yeah.
Not found because I typed it wrong, I'm sure. Hold on.
What
is it now? What's after the V? I'm such an idiot. Hold on. Is it V-I or V-A-I?
Oh, hold on a sec. It's K-A-V-A-L-I-E-R. IER.
Okay, KAVA. Okay, I put an unnecessary I in there, maybe. Okay, LIER.
Yeah.
Okay, I had the I in the wrong place. Okay, hold on. There we go. You took a picture of some lots.
Yeah.
Okay, that's you. I will now hit the follow button.
There you go.
There you go. And you should get a cutesy email that says that I followed you. I recently got my wife to start using her Tumblr again, because I finally figured out, I was mystified by Tumblr at first.
Okay.
I finally figured out how it worked.
Yeah.
Because I'm almost 40. I'm 37, so I think there's like some sort of brain fissure that closes after a certain age, and Tumblr doesn't make sense. So it took me a little while to figure out how it works. But I've really been enjoying it. So I got my wife to start using her Tumblr, and she, when people were following her, she'd say, "Why am I getting these emails that say swoon or yeah? What are these people saying?" You know, she was like, "Are these, why are these people saying this when they follow me?" I said, "Tumblr's just trying to be cute."
Yeah,
I don't know why they. You know, it's there's a line for me on when websites try to be cutesy. Like that, and I think Tumblr maybe crosses it.
I think I'd turn it off. There's somehow you can turn it off.
Never mind then. So now I'm going to close my Tumblr out so I don't get distracted by that.
Yeah, and like cats and stuff.
Yes. So we were talking before I started asking you how to type your Tumblr address for 15 minutes.
Right. It was
talking about your podcast that you're working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not This Manitoban Life.
No, not This Manitoban Life.
So would you say it as, like Manitoban? Is that what you would say? Or?
Yeah, it would be Manitoban.
Manitoban,
yeah.
Okay, good.
That's exactly
I'm
it,
make
yeah.
Sure I had the correct people identifier.
Yeah, and then from Winnipeg, it would be a Winnipegger.
A Winnipegger?
Yeah.
You know, I've often wondered, is there like a standard way you figure that stuff out?
I don't know, because in some places it's, you know, you hear, I think like people in Manchester or like Mancurians or something,
uh-huh.
And it's, and I don't really know what dictates how you call somebody from a certain town a certain way. I guess it's just whatever sounds the best.
Yeah, I mean, I've not been able to find a pattern. Like, where I grew up in a near a town called Coleman, or in a county, and the county's also called Coleman in Alabama, mm-hmm. And people would always say Colemanite, which that sounds like really Old Testament, you know.
Yeah.
The Colemanites.
Colemanites,
but
yeah.
We say Alabamian. People always say Alabaman, but that sounds wrong to me, so I always say Alabamian.
Alabama.
So yeah, it's weird. I've never been able to figure out how do you say, and then there's always the E's.
Yeah.
Like if somebody is Taiwanese or I'm trying to think of a non-Asian, because a lot of the I'm not sure. I can't think of any. But
Lebanese.
Yeah, Lebanese. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. So I don't know. Is there some guy in an office that that determines it? Because I haven't been. Because I thought maybe it has to do with the last letter, or I don't know. Anyway, I'm sure it's just whatever sounded.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Just, you know, what sounds good.
Yeah. So back to your podcast, which is going to be all about how people get the suffixes on their place name.
I've had a desire to make radio for a long time, and I've listened to public radio pretty much my entire life. It's probably been largely influenced by that. That's probably the reason why.
What do you think it is? Because you're obviously, you know, interested in radio and moved by story, audio stories, narrative audio. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is that is attractive about audio versus, you know, having video pictures? Because our society is very visual.
Mm-hmm.
And very video oriented. What do you think it is that keeps people coming back to audio?
Hmm.
Just audio, or have you thought about
that? That's a good question. You know what? I haven't really thought about that before. because I'm a visual person as well. I mean, I do photography, and you know, I learned how to use a news camera, so I learned how to make stories with pictures too. I don't know. I think that storytelling is something that has just been, it's in our blood. It's been passed down from generation to generation. Like, that's how that we relay our history. Like, up until the television came to us, that's for thousands of years before that, people were relaying stories by word of mouth and sometimes by paper.
Yeah.
But that's how we communicated. And maybe it's just something that's really just it's in our blood. It's genetic almost.
Yeah. Why
it's like
hardwired in.
Hardwired in.
Yeah.
And maybe that's it. But I feel almost like we're getting to a point in our society where we've just gotten so advanced and we're doing so much, and there's so much stimulation that we're almost going backwards.
Yeah.
You know, you've got people that are going back to vinyl, and you know, they're listening to the radio more. I think a testament is NPR and how their audience has the target audience has just gone all the way down. It's, now their target audience is like 20 to 30 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? And that's all that was. When I heard shows, I was actually in Minneapolis last week, and when I was listening to NPR and there were crowd shows, it just sounded like, you know, they were all young people. Mm-hmm. So I almost feel like that we're maybe revolting a little bit against what is being put forward.
Hmm.
It's kind of like the silent revolution.
Another thing that occurred to me is that, you know, you can do, of course, editing of images is very powerful and things like that, but it seems to me that when someone's telling you a story, the analysis that you're able to bring to events by the fact that it's literally being filtered through you and your voice, you know, it's kind of a strength of it being less accurate than a picture. You know what I'm saying? Like a picture just kind of is, the picture only shows you what that camera saw from that angle in that space of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't go in, you know, it's not an interior, you know, it's not interiorized. It's not, you know, it's not like that. But a story that you tell about an event, even if it might be, as far as like the physics and the time frame is concerned, less accurate. I think you're able to bring the interior content of the event, the emotional content of the event, out where maybe the pictures wouldn't show that. That may be a strength of that kind of storytelling.
Yeah, and I mean, I've just always found it interesting. Like, you know, when you meet somebody at a party, and all of a sudden, like, there's four or five people kind of hanging around because they're just telling about like this car accident they got in or something like that, and just the way that they're speaking is enrapturing, and you've got to stop and you've got to listen because you just really are drawn to it.
And you can learn so much about a person by the way they tell you a story about a thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a very good point, because, you know, you can be talking to somebody and asking them questions about stuff, but, or you can, you know, be around in a party setting, but once they tell a story, it really opens that person up a little bit more, because they kind of let their guard down and they are able to maybe show a little bit of a side of themselves that they might not.
Right.
Were they not kind of distracted by the fact that they were telling this story?
Right.
Yeah.
We've been talking about, you know, about 30 minutes, and I feel like, you know, if we had been having a text conversation for 30 minutes, or you know, tweeting back and forth for 30 minutes or Facebooking back and forth for 30 minutes, I don't feel like I would have the same sense that I think I have of you with us just having spoken for 30 minutes and not really going into a whole lot of biographical detail, you know, just to hear you talk about things. I feel like I know more about you than I would if we didn't have this vocal component.
The reason I emailed, like, as soon as I saw it, like, I opened up my Gmail and I sent that off to you, because I said, well, and I'm always interested in having actual conversations with people. Like, I love that. I love connecting with other people. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who they are. Just speaking with another person and learning a bit more about them is interesting.
I don't feel like I have a lot of opportunities to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Which is why I'm doing this thing, I guess. Well,
yeah,
it's been very, very pleasant talking to you. This has gone very well.
Yes, and pleasant talking to you as well.
And I wish you all the best in your radio job search.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Again, I think you have an excellent voice for radio, and you seem to have a good sense of story and narrative and you're much better at this than I am, because I can't even think about what I'm trying to say. But anyway, I look forward to hearing your podcast when that's done.
Thank you very much. Yeah, well, I'll see that you follow me. I'll follow you back.
Excellent.
And I'll at least send you a link when it comes out.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to say goodbye.
Okay.
And thank you again, and hope you have a pleasant evening.
Absolutely.
I will post something whenever this goes up. This thing actually has a Tumblr too.
Okay.
So if you go to my Tumblr, you can find it. It's just Jason Sims is calling you.
Tumblr. Okay.
.com.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for calling, Jason.
You have a good evening.
Yeah, you
All
too.
Right. Bye-bye.